Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is good to see you all here this evening for the time of worship and adoration to King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we are thankful for the privilege that you've granted us to be here, the presence of mind to be here, for the ability that you've given to us to come. Father, you have been faithful. And Lord, oh God, today we step, oh God, into the rest that you have for us. We celebrate your goodness, and we declare, oh God, that your kingdom has come, your will even now done in the earth as it is in heaven. Help us, oh God, to appreciate that which you've already done, and rest, oh God, in that grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's get into the word right away. And at the end, we're going to have some ministry time just to pray with you and stand with you for the miracles you believe in God for, and the breakthroughs that you desire of the Lord. He is faithful. You know, we don't do much of testimony times in this church, but I believe we're going to find a way to change that. But week after week, we get amazing testimonies of breakthroughs that people are experiencing in God. We get to enjoy that, but many times you don't get to hear the testimonies of the breakthroughs that God is granting people, how God is turning things around for individuals. So we'll find a way to make that possible, so that maybe even on our website you can just get testimonies in there, and people can go to the website and see them. And in the Toronto church, we do a lot of testimony time. That's something that's different for the Winnipeg church. Every time we're there, we have testimony time, and that helps a great deal. Anyhow, let's get to the word. I'm going to start from an interesting passage of scripture found in Psalm 119. I'm going to look at verse 89 through 91. Psalm 119. If you may take me there, I appreciate it. Psalm 119, verse 89. The word of God says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I want you to consider that thought for a moment. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, when something is settled, it means that it is finished. It is done. There's no controversy about it anymore. The case is settled. Will you receive that? Okay. The word of God concerning any particular issue in my life is settled already. Now, if it is settled already, I need not worry about it. Would that make sense? If it is settled already, we know the case is done with. Praise the Lord. It is done with. There's no discussion about it anymore. When you have made a very good presentation, a case as a lawyer, you say, "I rest my case. It's settled. I don't expect any other answer from the judge or the jury or anybody else, because the case is very clear. It is a settled matter." When you have precedents in court, and you've gone from one precedent to another, to another, to another, to another, It is settled law. Now, there are times when laws that are settled can be overturned. We do know that. But not with God. There's no overturning unsettled case with God. Now, God can overturn whatever the enemy thinks is settled case. But whatever God has settled, it says forever. Somebody say forever. Thy word is settled in heaven. Now, it says in heaven it is settled. What about in the earth? Well, we'll talk about that too. The reason the word of God is settled already in heaven is this. It says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. The faithfulness of God is to every generation, to all. God is faithful to all generations. So whatever God did before, he's not doing differently now. If he blessed before, he blesses now. If he delivered before, he delivers now. If he healed before, he heals now. It's a settled case. Therefore, I must rest on that if I believe God. It says, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. You establish the earth and it abides. It's not going anywhere. Hallelujah. It says, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. What are these all that are God's servants? Whatever it is that's in heaven, whatever it is that's on the earth, everything is a servant of God. Huh. You know what that means? Everything and everyone is a servant of God to serve the particular declaration of God that his word is settled. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what the GM, the CEO, the president, the prime minister, the principal, the superintendent, whoever and whatever thinks about the issue, when God steps into an issue and says, this is the way it's going to go, then everybody is going to move in that direction. Now, if you don't believe that, then it will not work that way for you. That's why the word of God says, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. Many years ago, you've heard me tell this story before. Those of you who've been here for a while will know this situation. When we first moved into this building many years ago, there used to be a bus stop right in front of the, just to the side of the front doors, a bus shelter. And this bus shelter, like most bus shelters, gets all kinds of garbage. And not only was it bad that way, it was an eyesore. It defaced the frontage of the church. And I said to those that were part of the leadership, can you guys please take care of this? Talk to the city, let them move this thing. They said, city won't do it. It's city property. They're going to do whatever it is they want to do. They will not move it. I said, really? A year went. I asked again, what about this bus shelter? So, Pastor, it's impossible. City won't do it. It's quiet. A few months later, I asked again. I said, this bus shelter, why is this bus shelter not moved yet? Pastor, we said it can't be moved. Did you guys check? Yes, the city says they're not going to move nothing. I said, okay. So one day, when I knew that the matter was settled, I picked up the phone, found out who the mover and shaker was. I called. I said, I'm looking for such and such a person. He says, I'm the one. Yes, what do you want? I said, I have an ugly bus shelter in front of my church. I want it moved. He said, we can't do it. I said, you didn't hear me clearly. I said, I want that bus shelter moved from the front of my church. He said, we don't do stuff like that. It's city property. I said, yeah, I don't think you heard me. I said, I want that shelter moved, and I want it moved right away. And the guy says, okay, I guess we'll have to look at that. I said, don't just look at it. Move it. Why was I so bold? I knew the matter was what? Settled. 2 weeks later or so, I'm at the Salisbury house with one of church members that was part of the leadership that was telling me it cannot be moved. I get a call from Sister Margaret from the office, and she says, Pastor, there's some people here that want to see you. I said, really? Where are they from? So I think they said they're from the city. I said, okay. I was done with my breakfast, so I came, because it was just not far away. I came as soon as I was coming. And by the way, I had already determined where the bus stop was going to move to. I had walked to that. You know where the bus stop is now? Yeah. I walked there and said, this is where I'm going to want this bus stop, right here. Hallelujah. That's where it's going to go. So as I came there, this three or four guys, you know, with well-dressed, with their tie and everything, and I'm coming, and they're coming towards me because they'd gone to the same spot that I'd already determined they were going to put that bus stop. They're coming towards me, and I said to them, are you guys from the city? Yes, sir, we're from the city. Did you come to move the bus stop? Yes, that's what we're thinking. Where would you like it? I said, I think over there. He said, that's what we think too. We'll move it from here over there. I said, thank you so very much. They said, thank you very much, sir. I said, you're very welcome. The bus stop moved. Somebody shout hallelujah. When you come into alignment with the will of God, take a hold of it and don't let it go. If you're not sure, that's a different thing. But as soon as you know that you know that you know, put everything to rest, because all things are there to serve your purpose in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, this is the word of the Lord. In Matthew 6:10, God's word is this: thy kingdom, what? Come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So there is a will of God in heaven. Hallelujah. The word of God is already settled forever in heaven. So therefore, we need to get that which is settled law down here. Praise God. Download it. Hallelujah. Somebody listening. Listen, if I can help you, write that will of God in heaven, and just like it is in your computer, put a box with an arrow pointing down and push on that arrow. That's it. I download you down here now. Glory be God. Manifest yourself here. When the Lord showed us about the renovation that we needed to do here, well, we've had, you know, had an idea about what we were like at some point. But on the day that the Lord said, today, guess what? I stepped up from there, walked up here, and I said, we're going to do thus. And it's going to cost this amount. It was a crazy amount for us. But at the point when it was settled matter in heaven, guess what we did? We had a drawing. Do you remember the drawing? We showed it to you. And download! And guess what? The drawing and the manifestation is the same. What we said is what is, because that was already settled in heaven. It was settled. Whatever it is that you're desiring of God is settled already. And once you know inside of you, this is settled, consider no other thing but the word of God that is settled already in heaven. Consider nothing else. Is somebody listening? Don't waste your time trying to figure out how. God, who downloaded it into you, already knew the how. Now there are going to be actions of faith and workings of faith. For faith without works is dead. That's when you keep your eyes and your ears open to hear God, to see what God is showing, and letting Him direct your path, because you are acknowledging Him. So how did God do it? God spoke to me, said, go to this website. Okay? What are we looking for? We're going to get you your LED screen today. Oh, okay. So I go to this website, and I'm scrolling, and there's all kinds in there, all kinds of prices. Which one, Lord? And the Lord picks one. Says, connect with this one. So I did. And I get to talk to somebody who actually can speak English. Somebody I could negotiate with. And say, oh, I want this and I want that. I don't want this. I want this. I want that. And so on. And negotiate. Because if you're dealing with this particular, through this particular website, most of them can't speak good English. You have to write everything out, and then they automatically have a translation of what you said, and then they try to write back to you in their language, and God help that you get the correct translation on your side. But God knew who I needed to work with. And as soon as I finished working with the guy, guess what happened? God promoted him. He moved on. Just enough time. Get the chairs. Just enough time. The right people connected, because God had already settled the matter. He finishes before he starts. Hallelujah. And we, as his people, need to connect with what he has already done. And when we take a hold of that and know deep within us, we don't fret, we don't worry, we don't get ourselves all wound up and concerned about this and concerned about that. A lot of people lose their miracle because they do not know how to continue in faith. A lot of prayers that we pray, that we say are prayers of faith, many times are prayers of fear. You think you're praying the prayer of faith, but you're praying the prayer of fear, because you're trying to figure out things yourself. You're scared, and your voice gets louder and louder, because you think the louder you get, that's faith. No, that's you trying to quiet in the noise of the fear that you're feeling inside. Stop it. Stop it. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. Don't think your loudness is going to change anything. Your rest in God, because you believe God's word, is what causes changes to take place. Now, it may take forever in the natural world, but when God is ready, it happens like that. Sometimes the delay is our lack of readiness for what God has already finished. So one of the best prayers that you and I can pray is, God, whatever it is that is establishing delays in my life, that's causing things not to happen as much as I would like them to happen, whatever it is that is making it impossible for me to be ready, help me to be ready and to be in the right place at the right time for the right results. God knows how to move you. Amen? So, Pastor, what are you saying to me tonight? I'm saying, rest. Relax. It is settled in heaven. Download what is in heaven down to the earth. Push the button. It's called the button of praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Just push that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank you, Lord. And watch God begin to move things. He knows how best to make it happen. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, we're going to go through a battery of scriptures real quickly. It says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it, in the seventh day, he had rested from all his work which God created and made. He rested from all his works which he, God, created and made. He created it and made it. Interesting. He created it. Isn't created made? Why does he say God created and made? Because it is the same thing. When you align with what God has created, it will be made. What God has created, He created in His mind. And then He speaks what He's thinking. And it is there. He rested on the seventh day. A few days ago, and again this morning, when I was here early, the Lord spoke something into my spirit. He said, "This is the seventh day." I said, "No, today's the 28th. Oh, Lord, have mercy on my soul. He said, "Yes, this is the 28th. We're not going to argue about that. Where's the seventh day?" I said, "But we just said and agreed that it was the 28th. He said, "What is 7 times 4? I said, "It's 28. He said, "How many points in the cardinal points?" I said, 4. He said, "It's the seventh day." I said, "So why are we talking about north, east, west, and south?" This is the seventh day in all directions. Oh. North, rest. East, rest. West, rest. South, rest. Oh. God is saying on this 28th day, I am causing you to rest in all directions. Is somebody listening yet? I am bringing you to your rest in every direction. In the north, you rest. In the east, you rest. In the west, you rest. In the south, you rest. That's your good news. That's your resting news. Hear it in your spirit. I call you to your rest. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're hearing yet. Hear it. Rest, 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 rest. Why? I am the God who restores you. I restore your soul. After the service this afternoon, I was talking to the Lord again. I was waiting in the car for Mama and my grandkids to come out of the restaurant where we went to lunch together. And I was saying, "God, you've not spoken to me yet about the new year that is coming. What are you saying for Rosh Hashanah? I've been asking you about it. And I'm not about to go tell people something that you did not say. I'm not going to make up anything and say, well, this is what is going to happen in this year, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. So you got to tell me something. I've been asking for some time now." While I was waiting, that word came, boom, deep within my spirit. Oh, that's what we're doing. That's what you're declaring. Yes. And I tell you, get ready for an exciting new year. Amen? Hallelujah. But learn how to rest. It is finished. Hallelujah. It is what? Finished. It is a settled case. The Word of God goes on and says to us, In Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11 and verse 28, Matthew 11 and 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you rest." You that are just fighting, it says, "Come to me. I'm going to give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Take my yoke. "Learn of me, for I am" what? "Meek, and I'm lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." How are we going to find this rest to our souls? He says, "Learn of me. Watch me. Get your information from me. See how I carry myself." When the disciples were all perturbed about how they're going to feed the thousands, Jesus just said, "What do we have? What are you talking, what do we have? We've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's it. I saw some kid with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is that going to do?" This is, let's bring it here. Tell them to sit down in groups of 50s. What's that? Jubilee. Harvest. Increase. Multiplication. Are you getting it? He's setting things up as he wants. There's not going to be debt here, but abundance, freedom, provision. Hallelujah. They sit them up. And he takes the bread and gives God thanks for it. Breaks it, gives it to his disciples, says, go feed the people. Okay. this, okay, if you say it. And they kept on, and kept on, and kept on, and kept on, and everybody got fed. And then he makes a remarkable statement. Get all the fragments. We've got fragments. We've got leftovers. Yeah. When you go to a good place to eat, and you've got a good big plate, and you can't finish, there's some stuff to take home. Doggy bags. Hallelujah. That's the Lord saying, listen, I don't just do what's enough. I do more than enough. And one of the things I have to confess to you that have cheated me is that many times I've allowed just enough to be enough. And I can't tell you how many years I went through the process of just having, well, we got, it's not all that we need, but we got it done. How it's cheated me of the abundance that God has on the other side, because God is about abundance. God is about the overflow. And I allowed just, well, we can manage this. God is not interested in you managing anything. He has more than enough for more than enough. Amen? And I need to relearn. He says, "Learn of me. I am not a God who just does just enough." So whatever it is I'm believing God for, I must learn that God wants to do much more than whatever it is that I dare ask or think. Is that what the Word of God says? He will do exceedingly far above. Because God is a God of the abundance, of the overflow. He says, I'm going to bless you and you're not going to have room enough to store it. As long as I can count how many zeros are attached to the monies that I have not arrived yet. Glory be to God. When my bank starts screaming, we've got too much money to handle your money, and the government says, how did you get all this money? And say, why are you asking the question? And they say, oh, forget it, we're not asking because I have more money than the government. Then we're talking. Oh, Pastor, how is that going to happen? Go ask God. Go ask him. How is that going to happen? Listen, child of God, there are no limits attached to your life. God has not placed any limits on you, on what you and I can accomplish. And every day we need to break that yoke of confusion that wants to tie us to lack, and rather allow ourselves to take on the yoke of the Lord, which he says is that of meekness. Huh? What's meekness? It's strength under control. It's you saying, I can do whatever I want to do, but I'm going to just act right so that nobody starts calling me arrogant. I'm just going to. It is well, praise the Lord. I've more than enough. Hallelujah. Now, more than enough. It's an interesting thing. When Jesus is attacked and Peter was attacked by the taxpayers, they wanted their money. Jesus didn't start fretting or worrying about it. He says, Peter, take your hook, go over there to the water, cast your hook, catch a fish, open the mouth of the fish, you're going to find a coin in the mouth of the fish, pay these guys, and the rest bring the money back. Huh? What are we talking about here? Do you mean I should go catch the fish, sell the fish, and then pay them? No, no. Catch the fish, open its mouth, take the gold coin inside the mouth of the fish, and then pay. Where did the gold come from? That is none of your business. I don't know whether that some guy was, you know, in the sea, you know, so looking at his money and saying, oh wow, this is a good piece. How much is this gold gonna be? And some bird flew towards his head and and it landed in the water. And the fish scooped it up and swam in the direction where Peter was coming. I don't know which way it came, but it came. It is not for me to determine how God is going to do what God is going to do. All I know is that God says the matter is settled. How he does it is how he does it. He says he will give us hidden treasures in the darkness. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking about because I might get in trouble for it. But I'm expecting that. Hallelujah. I will give thee the treasures of darkness. And hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I'm the God of Glory and Peace Church. I'm going to give you what you need. It's all here. Like Mama was saying, it's all here. Not one little piece is missing. God will bring to you what you need. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's go hiking. And while you're hiking, sit on some rock. While you sit on that rock, the rock is not properly settled and you're trying to move it, you know, to settle it properly. And while you move it, oh my, what is this in here? I don't care. Maybe some thief 200 years ago stole something and went to hide it somewhere, forgot where he hid it, or hid it and then they caught him and then they imprisoned him and he died in prison. And 200 years later, you said, let's go hiking, and there it is. Oh, goody, goody. I don't know how God is going to meet your needs. It's not for me to explain. But the fact is, even before you came to that place of need, God has already answered you, because his word says, even before you pray, he's answered you already. Is that not the word of God? Am I making this up? It's the word of God. God answers you even before you prayed. Wow. How incredible is that? So why am I turning gray and wrinkled because I am concerned about this and concerned about that? We waste too much time about too many things. Just chill out. Cool it. There's no reason to be worried. In John 14 and verse 29, John 14 and verse 29, the Lord says something. He says, and now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. He said, I'm going to do certain things for you, and I'm telling you right now that this is what's going to happen, and then when it happens, you're going to believe. Oh, that's good. So God, you're not asking me to believe it before it happens. He says, yeah, some things, it's too much for you to believe. You can't handle it. So I'm going to help you. Hallelujah. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Then you're going to believe. Woo! Why are you going to believe after that? So that you can start believing every time he says something to you. Amen? Some of us need something done so that we can start believing. But when you start believing, you will continue believing even before you see it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 3. And verse 5, Psalm 3 and verse 5, says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I laid myself and I slept. Some of you listening to me right now, you can't go to sleep because you're always worrying about something. Your mind just keeps on racing. And you think, you know, getting some pill here or a pill there is what is going to make you go to sleep. There is a pill. It's called the Word of the Lord. Take that. God said, and go to sleep. Stop worrying about it. Psalm 127 and verse 2. Psalm 127 and verse 2 He says, it is vain for you to rise up early. You wake up very early. You sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. I remember years ago, you know, mama will, you know, be tossing. So I didn't sleep last night. I said, well, I slept very well. I said, why do you say that? And I said, I'm the beloved of the Lord. You know that. I'm the beloved of the Lord. So I slept well. So he says, is that what you're saying? I said, yes, I'm the beloved of the Lord. God must love me more than he does you. He says, get out of here. God loves you more than he loves you. I said, but you're not sleeping. So she took on that word and says, okay, that's it. No more staying up late and concerning myself about this and concerning myself about that. Oh, where's our son? Oh, where's this? And where are we going to have? Forget that now. Forget that now. It's a breakthrough. Amen? It's a waste of time. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So what's my response? Lord, I am still. And this day I know that you're God, because you will not allow your name to be debased amongst the heathen, amongst the unbelievers. You are exalted in all the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I'm going to rest in the goodness of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul writes, Philippians 4 and verse 6. Paul declares, he starts out by saying, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. He says, let your requests, your supplications be made known unto God. And then in verse 6 it says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, in every situation, by prayer and by supplications, with thanksgiving, that's key, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's what's going to happen. He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. He says, spend your time thinking about other things. Things that are true. Things that are honest. Things that are just. Things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. He says, if there be any virtue in it, if there be any praise, think on those things. And he makes now a statement that the Lord Jesus Christ made when he said, learn of me. Paul now says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Do those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Stop fretting about it. Now, in Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. we'll read these words. Exodus 33:14. He says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. The rest of God is connected to the presence of God. Paul says, the Lord is at hand. He's present. He's with you. And he will give you rest. We need the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, Acts 3, verse 19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. You get refreshed, rejuvenated, renewed because of the presence of God. That's why it says, take my yoke. Get connected to me. Don't be religious. Get connected. It's your spiritual connection that matters. Amen? Hallelujah. Then it goes on in verse 20, it says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. And what is God doing? He's saying, I'm going to restore everything to you. There's nothing that I've ordained for you to have that you're going to lose out on. Everything is going to be restored to you. Take that word, receive it into your spirit, and abide in that word. Amen? Hallelujah. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we read these words. 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast all of your cares. I don't know what you're carrying today. Just cast it to him. As a pastor, many times there are things that I have to care about. How are we going to take care of this? How are we going to take care of that? How are we going to take care of this? How is this bill going to be handled? But I learned, concerning myself about that isn't myself one thing. It's not. So, I cast that care unto the Lord. I don't know how God is going to meet this need. But it's not for me to decide how he's going to do it. It's for me to just rest on the fact that he knows what needs to be done. Yes, maybe I made a wrong decision here. Maybe I made a wrong decision there. But God knew that before I got here. So he'll take care of it. That doesn't mean you act foolishly and presumptuously. It just means you learn how to rest in God's grace and his mercy. Verse 8 goes on, it says, in verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who is he that is going to devour? Those that are carrying burdens and cares. He'll devour you. Verse 9 goes on and says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Make you perfect. Establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Oh, don't you like that? Settle you. Praise God. Settle you based on what? based on His word. His word that is already settled in heaven, settled in you. You've come to that place of just, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. I encourage you with those words today. There's much more to share with you, but we'll stop here. And I'm going to pray with you in a quick moment. For those of you that are not here, because you're in a different city, in a different community, I declare that the rest of God be ignited in you right this very moment. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that strongholds that are standing in your way are uprooted by the word of God's authority. That God grant you peace that passes all understanding, that you rest in His goodness. As I stretch my hands towards you right now, go to that screen if you can. Touch that screen. Touch my hands. I want the cameraman to zoom into my hands right now. Just put my hands right there. Fill the screen with my hands right now. Let my hands be the point of contact with yours. And let there be a release of supernatural grace to remove what must be removed out of your life and to impact to you that which must be impacted to you now, so that you can walk in the fullness of God's grace, God's supernatural power, because God is your present help in the time of trouble. Be healed, be delivered, be set free. May answers flood your soul even now. And may you be equipped fully to accomplish God's divine purpose and vision for your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to just encourage you now to honor God with your giving. God calls us to trust Him with our finances. And at this time, as you obey God in your giving, may the God who multiplies the seed sown multiply all of your seed. And may you flourish and blossom, not only in your lifetime, but for every generation that God has raised up through you. May the seed in you be blessed of the Lord. May everything inside of you be blessed of the Lord, and may God bring you great increase, unlimited favor, undeniable favor be restored unto you even now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to cut off from the rest of the world at this time, and I'm going to ask